You know, I think one of the exciting times in people's lives is when you begin something new, whether it's a new job or some new project at work or just about anything new that you start. It's sort of exciting. There's some anticipation. Tied in with having something to do that's new is the key question. What exactly are you supposed to do? Some of you, when you got out of college, you had this, a job offer and you talk to the people. But when you really get down to it, you say, what exactly do they want me to do? I mean, what is my job description? And you think about it. You don't want to fail. You want to know what you're supposed to do. Well, we realize that the same is true for us in the Christian life. When we trust Jesus Christ as Savior, we start brand new. Just think about it. We're born again. If any man be in Christ, he's a new creation. We're new people. We're new people in Christ. We're now a child of God. We've gone from darkness to light. We're in Christ. We're the church, the body of Christ. Well, what are we supposed to do? And when I think about this, what are we supposed to do, not only each one of us individually, but what about corporately as a body? We know we have eternal life. We have eternal relationship with Jesus Christ. We are awaiting His return. We're looking for the blessed hope and the glorious appearing of our great God and Savior. But what are we to do while we wait? What's the plan? What is our role as a child of God? What is our role as a member of the body of Christ lived out in a local church? Well, for these next few weeks, we're going to be looking at what I'm calling, or what we're just calling this study, the commission. And individually and locally, local body, what are we to do? And so there's a lot of stuff as we think about this. Let me give you the outline for the study. I think it's purple, which is what you could pick up when you came in, but here's also the outline on the sort of the overhead here. Here's what we're going to try to do. We're starting tonight, just we're going to have an introduction, and then we're going to talk about it in two different ways when we think about the commission. First, we're going to look at our purpose individually, and we're going to see three things are involved there. Talking about offering ourselves, keeping our focus on Christ, and realize we represent Christ. That's one aspect of it. The second thing is the purpose for the local church. Now, as individual, here's the local church. We're the body of believers. There are three vital experiences that we're to have as a local church body. We're going to talk about this, the Word of God, or our relationship with God and believers, and then the whole issue of evangelism. We're going to go to the Acts chapter 2 to look at some of that. So that's for in next week. Now, then we're going to actually hit on the commission. And most of the time when we think about the commission, we say, oh, the Great Commission, and where would you go to find it? Almost everybody says, Great Commission, Matthew 28, 18 through 20. Well, I don't know whether you've ever thought about this or not, but there are at least five places that there is the commission. And one is in Matthew 28, 16 through 20. That issue is to make disciples. We're going to find in Mark chapter 16, verses 14 through 16, he says, take the gospel to every person. We see in Luke chapter 24, 44 through 49, he talks about taking and sending out the message of forgiveness. In John chapter 20 and also chapter 21, he says, I send you out, and then he says, feed my sheep. We'll see that one. And then Acts, you may not realize it, but in Matthew, Mark, Luke, John, and Acts has a commission, Acts chapter 1, verses 6 through 11. Most of us know of Acts 1, 8, that we studied it in the 4:12 and some other things, but he says you're witnesses of Jesus Christ. So what we're thinking about in this study is, what's our commission? Our commission individually, our commission as a local church, and then putting that all together as we look at five places in the New Testament in which we see the commission given to those who know Jesus Christ as Savior. So there's a lot we're going to look at in these next few weeks, and we'll go through it fairly quickly. We'll have, of course, time at the end, just like always, for questions and input and those kind of things. So we'll do that. In these weeks to come, we want to see how it fits together so that each one of us will know what is our role, what is our responsibility as a child of God, and how we tie together in the body of Christ. So let's begin tonight with, after that little introduction, let's begin with the whole purpose, and let's think about the individual. What do we do? What is our purpose and goal? As we begin, we want to think about individually, and then we'll look at the role of the local church. When we think about it, we're put on this earth as human beings. There are really two big decisions that you have to make. Now, one follows the other one, but the first decision, of course, that most of you would name, would be the decision to accept or reject Jesus Christ as Savior. I mean, that is the key question that people deal with, and I don't know, many of you I know have had opportunities to tell other people about Jesus Christ, but the greatest decision that a person makes is whether they put their faith in Jesus Christ for eternal life. And notice how I said that. You put your faith in Christ for eternal life. And salvation is a gift. We all know that. It's not by works. It's not by going to church. It's not by being good. The Galatians 2:16 says, knowing that a man is not justified by the works of the law, but by faith in Jesus Christ. And we know that salvation is a gift, cost us absolutely nothing. That's the first decision. And when we trust in Jesus Christ as Savior, we are saved and saved forever. We have eternal life and we have an eternal relationship with Christ. The second decision is a key one, and that is, are you going to serve Jesus Christ or not? Are our lives going to count for Him? And that cost us our lives. That's where we decide and say, I want my life to count for Christ. I choose to live for Him. This deals with service and rewards. Now, this is not free. This costs you. It costs you everything. We're going to talk a little bit more about that tonight. But let's think about this. And as we begin, we know that by faith in Jesus Christ, we have eternal life. We trust Him. He died. He rose again. He's the Savior. He's the one who gives life. Romans 1:16, I'm not ashamed of the gospel. It's the power of God unto salvation to everyone who believes, to the Jew first and also to the Greek. It brings salvation. Think about how we are changed. We have been changed. We've gone from death. We were dead in trespasses and sins. Now we're alive in Christ. We were in darkness. Now we're in light. That's why John and Paul and the others say, so walk as children of light. We were separated from God. Now we have eternal life. We'll never be separated. We were children of the devil. That's what Jesus called unbelievers in the Gospel of Matthew. He said, your father is the devil. That's what he says. And he doesn't mean that in the sense that you were begotten by the devil, but the devil has this fallen world system. And as an unbeliever, you are caught in the fallen world system in that whole sense. We were children of the devil. Now we're children of God. We were of this world. We're now in this world. There's a difference between being in the world and of the world. We were of the world. We were connected with the world, the flesh, the devil, that whole thing. Now we're in the world, but not of the world. So we're different. We have been placed in union with Jesus Christ. 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 13 says, when you trust Christ, He actually places you in union with Him. We are empowered. We've been given spiritual gifts. We've been set apart to serve God. Now, here's the question. If all of that is true about us, and sometime if you just want to get excited, go to Ephesians chapter 1, begin about verse 3 and go through verse 11. And in Ephesians 1, 3 through 11, he lists a large number of spiritual blessings that every one of us have because of our relationship with Jesus Christ. So all that's true. And we go, wow, that's fantastic. Now here's the question. What are we supposed to do? We have a responsibility. What has God called us to do? We know that He says in Ephesians to walk worthy of the call in which you've been called. Well, what are we supposed to do? And so as we begin individually thinking about that, I want you to look at 2 Corinthians chapter 5. You could go to verse 17. That's one of the famous passages. You've heard me say this before. If you ever are saying to yourself, you know, I want to kind of have some Bible study. I want to study the Bible on my own, but I don't really know where to go, and I don't want to study one of those big long books because I'll never get through it. Well, a place to go would be 2 Corinthians chapter 5. Now, what you need to do is look at the whole book of 2 Corinthians and sort of see how the whole thing fits together. But then you could do your detailed study on 2 Corinthians chapter 5 because it is full. That chapter is full of everything. And we're just taking the last part of that chapter, beginning at verse 17, and we talk about what we are to do. And let me say it this way. Most of you would not say that you are a minister. And when people say minister, they think of, oh, minister like a pastor or a preacher. That's what. But every one of us in this room who know Jesus Christ as Savior, we are ministers. We have been given a ministry. And in 2 Corinthians 5, 17 through 21, the ministry is called the ministry of what? Does anybody know? Reconciliation. That's exactly right. Look at chapter 5, verse 17. Therefore, if any man is in Christ, he's a new creation. The old things have passed away. Behold, the new things have come. If you're in Christ, and that's by faith, you're in Jesus Christ, you're a new person, a new creation. You're born again. You're from death to life and darkness to light and all of those things. Old things are passed away, dead and sin, all of that. New things have come. Now, it says, now all these things are from God. Who did what? He reconciled us to Himself, brought us to Himself through Christ. That's the way. Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes to the Father except through Him. So we're reconciled to Him, to Himself, through Christ. And what did He do? Gave us the ministry of reconciliation. Every one of us who've been brought to God through Jesus Christ, who are a new creation in Christ, have been given a ministry, the ministry of reconciliation. And that means we get to tell people how God reconciles man to Himself. That's the plan. Notice He gives us a little more detail in verse 18. Namely, that God was in Christ reconciling the world to Himself. God was using Christ to bring the world to Himself, not counting their trespasses against them. He put our sins on Jesus. And He has committed, deposited, entrusted to us the word of reconciliation. That word means the message. So He's told us we have the message of telling people about reconciliation. So we get to live on the earth belonging to Jesus Christ as ministers of God, telling people about the plan. Now, let's think about this. This is individual. We've been thinking about this. This is our purpose individually. We've got the ministry of reconciliation. But what I want you to see, and I've taught this at different times and in different ways. Some I've taught in the 2-2 study and some of the other things. But I want you to realize that as you say to yourself, hey, you know, I've been given the ministry of reconciliation. In order to fulfill that ministry, and we're talking individually now, one of the key things is you must have the proper foundation. You know that whenever you build a building, I mean, one of the things we're waiting on, and by the way, a lot of people saying, what's going on the building? Well, we don't know a whole lot about it, but we know the city made some changes, and they stopped us so far, and that we've got to get certain drawings or certain things in, and then we're going to be able to put the foundation down. In fact, it could be that we start the foundation within the next week. Of course, I've heard that before, too. But anyway, that may be the plan, right? But when you put this foundation down, that's the key for the whole thing. Because whatever you build upon it, you've got to have the proper foundation. Well, what we realize that if we're going to be people who are fulfilling the ministry of reconciliation, if we're out there with the word of reconciliation, there has to be a foundation. To build our lives and our ministries on and to fulfill that, I think there are three things part of the foundation. And I've got them on this handout for you. I think the three things that we need to do to have the foundation to fulfill our purpose individually, which is the ministry of reconciliation. Three things. Offer ourselves, keep our focus on Christ, and realize we represent Jesus Christ. Those three things. If you want to write those down, fine. If not, I'm going to go over them. You can write them down as you go through it, or you can use this and do your own study because I put the verses on there for you. But we want to think about that. Now, if we're going to make an impact, I mean, and this is the key. I was really thinking about this afternoon. What do you really want to do? What do we really want to do? I mean, we trusted Christ as Savior. We're going to heaven. And we can do two things. We can say, hey, I'm going to heaven. It don't really matter whether I live good or not. I've got eternal life because that's a gift given to me, not based on my faithfulness or service or anything. It's because Jesus Christ saved me. So that's true. You've got eternal life. The question is, what are we going to do in the time that God leaves us on this earth? What's the plan? You know, he's given you a ministry. It's reconciliation. Now, are we going to be able to accomplish that, and how? Well, I think the key is the foundation, and it's those three things. Offer self, keep focus on Christ, and realize we represent Christ. Let's look at that for a second. Let's look at the first one. The first one is we offer ourselves to God. I want you to go ahead and flip over to the Romans passage, Romans chapter 12, just a few pages back toward the front of your Bible, to Romans chapter 12. It's a famous, famous passage, so we all know it. And so it's not anything new, but I think it's the key. If you're going to have the ministry of reconciliation, which you have, now the question is, are you going to fulfill it? Then you've got to have the proper foundation, and it begins with you making a decision that you're going to offer yourself to God. If you remember, we talked back right at the very start of the message tonight as we started talking. We said two big decisions that you make. One is to trust Christ as Savior, and that's the gift of eternal life. The other is decide whether you're going to live for him or not. But this is it right here. The first of the foundation is to choose to decide whether you're going to live for him or not. And Paul talks about it in Romans, and he basically says, the bottom line is offer your life as a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable to God, which is your spiritual service of worship. We'll talk about that more in just a second. But the first decision, trust Christ as Savior, cost us nothing. Second decision, offer our lives, cost us everything. Notice this. He says, I urge you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, to present your bodies a living and holy sacrifice. Let me just stop for just a second, because there are people who are confused. We're talking about you offering your life in service to God. There are people who are confused, and they think that you have eternal life or salvation because you are willing to offer your life to God. And I hear some people say that if you don't offer your life to God in service for him, you're not a Christian. Well, I want you to understand that just by the very reading of the verse, I urge you therefore, brethren. Paul is writing to believers. He's writing to the church at Rome. He's writing to fellow believers. He calls them brethren, and he says to them, here's what I want you believers to do, and that is to offer your lives as living sacrifices. We know that salvation is a gift. It is not because we agree to serve God, plan to serve God, you make some kind of deal with God. We are saved by grace through faith. It is the gift of God. It is not of works, lest anyone should boast. And we are saved as a gift. And this is, as a saved person, who are you going to serve? Are you going to say to God, I want my life to count for you? So remember this, and there are a lot of people who teach what we call, at our church, we call it Lordship Salvation. And that is, if you don't come under the authority of Jesus Christ, if you don't agree to serve Him, if you don't say to God, I want my life to count for you, you're not a Christian. Well, I want you to understand, that's works for salvation. If you have to do one thing for it, whether it is walk down an aisle, give your life to Jesus, agree to serve Him, turn away from sins, give money, do anything, that's you doing something, and you are saved by grace through faith, not of yourselves, it's a gift of God. If you have to do anything for it, it is no longer a gift. So remember that, and don't get confused, because there's some people out there that are pretty smart, and they twist things, and it sounds so good to say, if He's not Lord of all, He's not Lord at all. And if you're not willing to make the commitment to Christ, you're not saved because you make any commitment to Jesus Christ. You're saved because you trust in Him to give you eternal life. You're saved because He's your Savior, not you. You're not your Savior. He's the Savior. He does it all. So that's the first thing I want you to see. I urge you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, based on what God has done for you, here's what I want you to do, He says. Offer your lives, present your bodies as living and holy sacrifices. That's what He said. Offer your life as a living sacrifice. Now that's a key, because in the Old Testament all the sacrifices were dead. In the New Testament our sacrifices are alive. It's ourselves. We say to God, I want my life to count for you. See, I used to say this, and a lot of people say, you know, I'd die for Jesus. Well, He doesn't want you to die for Him. He wants you to live for Him. That's the key. Live for Him. Offer your life as a living sacrifice. And then, and He gets into this, and this whole idea of offering, and most of you can teach this passage just as well as I can. You know it. There's a twofold aspect of it. One's a negative and one's a positive. The negative is first. It's verse 2. Do not be conformed to this world. That's the negative. The positive is, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. The bottom line is, He says, first of all, stop being conformed to this world. Literally in the Greek, it says, stop being conformed. We know conformed means to be shaped, put in a mold. It's like the world is trying to shape you into a mold. If you're going to make a difference for Jesus Christ, you cannot be shaped like this world. It's out there. It's pulling you all the time. There's the values, the worldview, the whole, everything is there, and it is, if you don't consciously decide that you're not going to be shaped, and if you don't consciously say, I'm going to be transformed by the renewing of my mind, you know what's going to happen to you? You're going to be shaped like the world. If you don't consciously make the decision, that's why He says, I urge you, brethren, by God's mercies, present your bodies. Do not stop being conformed to this world. He says, stop being conformed to this world, but be transformed. And transformed literally means change from the inside out. That's what the word means. We get metamorphosis from it. The Greek word is metamorphose. We get metamorphosis from it, which is something that changes. And the idea there is that you change from the inside out by the renewing of your mind. You renew your mind by the Word of God. So as you put God's Word in your minds, as me and you, as we study the Word of God, as we pray, as we read, as we meditate, as we memorize, as we put God's Word in our mind, we will not be shaped like this world. We'll be changed from the inside out, being transformed by the renewing of our mind. You know, there's a difference between true Christianity and religion. Religion always tries to change people from the outside in. You know, wear these clothes, do these things, live this way, try to be a good person. That's always outward. True Christianity is you're changed from the inside out. You've been born again. You're a new creation on the inside. And that's why Paul says, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. He didn't say work for your salvation. He said work it out. Let the salvation that you are on the inside work out into your life. That's what he talks about. So it's pretty powerful. Wow, there's a lot here. So the first aspect of the foundation so that we can have that ministry of reconciliation is you offer your life to Christ. I hope and pray, what I really hope, I hope every one of you in this room who have trusted in Christ, if you haven't already said, God, I want my life to count for you. I want my life to count for you. I don't want to be conformed to this world any longer. I want to be transformed by the renewing of my mind through the Word of God. I want my life to count for you so that when I get to the end of my life, I can say, I ran the race. I fought the fight. I kept the faith. I'm ready to be poured out. I want to hear Him say, well done, good and faithful servant. I hope and pray that if you hadn't made that decision, you will make it. It'll be the life-changing decision because nothing will ever be the same after you say to God, I want my life to count for you. It'll never be the same. Many of you, if I said to you, all of you who have already said to God, I want my life to count for Him, I want you to stand up and come up here and tell me, is your life different? Every one of you would come up here and say, yeah, I'm not the same person anymore. God's taking me and He's using me. My life is for Him. My goal is to not be like this world, but to be like Jesus Christ. So that's the first aspect. The second thing, besides offering our lives, is to keep our focus on Jesus Christ. Let's turn a couple of pages toward the back of your Bible to Hebrews 12. And you notice, if you remember, it wasn't very long ago on Sunday morning, two Sundays ago, I did Hebrews 12, 1 and 2, so I will not go into that same detail tonight. But in that passage, he says, here's the key. The key to making an impact, one of the keys of the foundation, is you've got to keep your focus on Jesus Christ. You know, the verse in Hebrews 12 talks about we're surrounded by such a great cloud of witnesses and let's lay aside everything that slows us down and let's run with endurance the race that is set before us. But notice what he says. The key is let us run with endurance the race that is set before us. Verse 2, fixing our eyes on Jesus. I think the second key of the foundation is that you got to keep your focus on Christ. You live in a fallen world. There's so many distractions. And some of the distractions are so appealing. I mean, it's, oh, man, you just want to follow it. I mean, it attracts your flesh. It attracts us. And it's going to take us away from what God has called us to do. He says, run with endurance. I know I taught this several weeks ago, but look again at the very end of verse 1 when he says, and run with endurance the race that is set before us. Remember, the Christian life is a lifetime endurance run. It's not a sprint. It's not over after two laps. It is day after day after day for as long as God has you on this earth. That's why you run with endurance the race that is set before us. That's the key, the course that He has appointed for us. And that is the key because you have to think about faithfulness there. People say, well, you know, I just don't know that. You know what I would say to them a lot of times? You got the rest of your life. People say, I don't know the Bible. Guess what? You got the rest of your life to know it and apply it. You're in a process. The Christian life is a process. If sometimes you're frustrated and say to yourself, I'm not where I think I ought to be. Well, just remember, you got the rest of your life. Just keep on going day after day after day after day. If sometimes you want to study the Bible and you can't remember and you can't find it and you say, I need to know it better, guess what? You're in a process. You're growing to be like Christ. You're growing to grow in the grace and knowledge of Jesus Christ. So it's a lifetime. I think the thing that he says is run the race with endurance set before us. And here's the key in verse 2, fixing our eyes on Jesus. We know we talked about it. It means take your eyes off everything else and put it on Christ. No distractions. Paul said, this one thing I do. You know, if you just talk to Paul, you say, Paul, what's your deal? What's your deal? I mean, what do you want to do? Write books, go places, do this? He says, this one thing I do is I preach Jesus Christ crucified. I have come to give the message of Jesus Christ, beginning with the Jew first and also to the Greek. I am an apostle to the Gentiles to turn them from darkness to light. But my role is to proclaim the good news of Jesus Christ. That's the one thing that he did. He kept his focus on Christ. And that's what we want to do. To not be distracted. There's so much pulling us, so many things that want to shape us. Let me ask you, I mean, think about it. What do you really want to do in life? The only way you're going to accomplish it is keep your focus on Jesus Christ. Everything else, it'll pull you away. And good things will pull you away. So the foundation is offer yourself. Keep your focus on Christ. And the third thing ties right into it is remember who you represent. You represent Jesus Christ. This ties into the keeping our focus on Jesus Christ, because we actually have to, when we keep our focus on Christ, we realize who we're here for. Because our flesh says we're here for us. You see it all the time in the local church. You see people come into a church and the first question they ask is, what do you have to offer me? And we want to say to them, what do you have to offer Jesus Christ? We're here together with our gifts, talents, and abilities together to represent Christ. He's the reason we're here. He left us on this earth. Acts 1:8 says, and you shall be my witnesses, witnesses of Jesus Christ. We are not here for ourselves, for our church, or for anything else. People sometimes say, Jamie, what do you Baptists believe? I say, I have no idea. Because our goal and issue is not what Baptists believe, or Methodist, or Presbyterian, or anything else in this world. Our goal is to proclaim the truth of God's Word as we proclaim Jesus Christ. That's why we're here. We're not here to represent countryside, or a denomination, or a particular pastor, or a particular group. We are here to represent Jesus Christ. That is the key to life. Go back to 2 Corinthians chapter 5, if you would, just a few pages back again toward the front of your Bible, and we take us back to our original point. And that whole thing is that we've got that ministry of reconciliation and all of those things. So it ties back into who do we represent? And remember the verse in verse 17, if any man's in Christ, he's a new creation. We got the ministry of reconciliation. Verse 19 says, namely, God was in Christ, reconciling the world to himself, not counting their trespasses, committed to us the word of reconciliation. It now ties us back to this third part. Who do we represent? Look at verse 20. Therefore, we are ambassadors for Christ, as though God were beseeching or entreating through us. We beg you on behalf of Christ, be reconciled to God. We're ambassadors for who? For Jesus Christ. We represent Him. See, an ambassador basically is a representative. We talked about this a little bit Sunday morning when we were talking about Paul was an apostle. We're not apostles, we're ambassadors. There's a difference. Paul was the authority, and when the canon of Scripture is completed and all the apostles have died off, the authority is the Word of God. But we are ambassadors for Christ, as though God were begging through us, beseeching through us. You know, one thing that I see in this verse when he says, we beg you on behalf of Christ. I think sometimes in our culture, when we think about sharing our faith, we think about saying something like, you know, Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life. You know, if you don't trust in Christ, you won't have eternal life, and we want you to trust Christ and have eternal life. But, you know, that's up to you. As if it doesn't really matter whether they trust Christ or not. What did Paul say? We beg you. Listen, we talk to people about Jesus Christ. We say, listen, do you understand that He died for you and gives you eternal life, and He is your Savior, and He's the only way? We beg you, put your faith, trust Jesus for eternal life. Paul says, we compel them. In another place, Paul says, we persuade people. We're not talking about trickery. We're talking about persuading, telling people, look, He is the only way. We've all sinned and come short of the glory of God. The wages of sin is death. Jesus Christ died in our place. Whoever will believe in Him will not perish but have everlasting life. Now, you know the message? See you later? No. You know the message? Would you trust in Jesus Christ right now? Remember the thing we teach people when we go through the thing, we say, is there anything stopping you from trusting Jesus Christ right now? That's what we tell them. That's what we should tell them. To fulfill our commission to give out the word of reconciliation and the ministry of reconciliation, we have to have the foundation. And that foundation is to offer our lives in service for Jesus Christ, keeping our focus on Christ as we run the race of endurance, and remembering that we represent Him. We are ambassadors. As we begin this evening, we started with the individual. And what we'll do next time is we're going to go and look at the local church as a whole. What's our purpose? What's the plan? Three vital experiences. I've never taught it this way, in the way that I'm going to teach it next time. I mean, I've taught it before, and I've taught it in different ways, but not putting it together in those three things. And so we'll talk about that next week, and then we'll get into the commissions. We'll see those five aspects, five places that we deal with that. So what have we seen? We've seen that we realize individually, of course, that we have there's a commission. Individually, we have to be ready. The foundation is to offer ourselves, keep our focus on Jesus Christ, and realize we represent Him. So here's our application, and then we'll open up for questions. The application is, be prepared to fulfill our commission. Our commission is that we have been given the ministry of reconciliation. We get to tell people how God reconciles man to Himself. We get to do that. We have that commission. How do we get ready? Well, we'll have to have the foundation, and of course, it is offer your life. And I pray, and I mean this as sincerely as possible, if you have never come to the point as a believer that you want your life to count for Christ, I want you to really consider that, because that will change your life forever. You'll never be the same once you choose to say, I want my life to count for you. Now, I want you to understand, it's a cost. It costs you your life. You give up your life in service of Jesus Christ. And it's a big step. But that's what you've got to do if you're going to make an impact for Christ. The second thing is keep you focused on Him. I mean, there's so many other things to distract us, the circumstances of life and the pulls. It is a lifetime of running the race of endurance as we grow in the grace and knowledge of Jesus Christ, keeping your focus on Him, finally realizing that's who you represent. You're an ambassador for Christ. When you wake up in the morning, we don't wake up for just our family. We don't wake up for our church. We don't wake up for it. We wake up and say, I'm here as the representative of my Savior, Jesus Christ. So may we be prepared to fulfill our commission as ambassadors for Christ as we offer our lives in service, keeping our focus on Jesus. Let's pray and we'll open up for some questions. Heavenly Father, thank you for this passage. And as we think, Lord, about the aspect of making an impact for you, you have given us a commission. You have given us the aspect of reconciliation, that we get to tell people of how you reconcile mankind to yourself through Jesus Christ. And Lord, we want to be faithful to do that. And Lord, we know that there has to be that foundation of offering our lives to you, of keeping our focus on you and realizing that we represent you. May we do that, Lord. And I pray for each one of us in this room, Lord, that that's what we do, that we'll make an impact for you so that we can hear you say, well done, good and faithful servant. We ask this in Jesus' name.